वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते
वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम 3:13:29 The appearance of Lord Varaha.
Savajra kutanga nipata vegam. Savajra kutanga nipata vegam.
Savajra kutanga nipata vegam.
Vishirna kukshistanayan udanban. Vishirna kukshik stanayan nudanvan.
Double N.
Utsvesta dir gormi bujair ivartash. Utsvesta dir gormi bujair ivartash. Savajra kutanga nipata vegam. Vishirna kukshi stanayan udanvan. Utsrista dirgormi bujari varta. Chukrosha yagnishvara pahimeti.
Boliega.
Savajra kutanga nipata vegam. Savajra kutanga
nipata
vegam. Vishirna kukshi stanayam udanvan. Vishirna kukshi stanayam udanvan. Shirna kukshi stanayan udanvan.
Srutta dirgormi bujari ivarta.
Utsrishta dirgormi bujari ivarta.
Kukrosha yagneshvara pahimeti.
Kukrosha yagneshvara pahimeti. Saha.
That
Vajrakuta Anga,
body like a great mountain,
Nipata
Vega,
the force of diving, Bishirna, bifurcating, Kukshihi, the middle portion. Stanayam,
resounding like.
Udanvan,
the ocean.
Utsrista,
creating.
Dirgha,
high.
Ormi,
waves.
Bujai,
by the arms.
Eva Artaha,
like a distressed person.
Chukrosha,
prayed loudly.
Yagna Ishvara,
O master of all sacrifices.
O master of all sacrifices.
Pahi,
Pahi.
Please protect.
Please protect.
Ma,
Ma.
Unto me.
Unto me.
Iti,
Iti.
Thus.
Thus.
Yeah. Savajya kutanga nipata vega vishirna kukshistanayan udan van utsvrista dirgorni bujhair ivartash chukrosha yagnishvara pahimeti. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Diving into the water like a great mountain, Lord Mohr divided the middle of the ocean and two high waves appeared as the arms of the ocean, which cried loudly as if praying to the Lord, O Lord of all sacrifices, please do not cut me in two. Kindly give me protection. Even the great ocean was perturbed by the falling of the mountain-like body of the transcendental boar. It appeared to be frightened as if death was imminent. Lord Boar penetrated the water with his hooves, which were sharp like arrows, and found the limits of the ocean, although it was unlimited. He saw the earth, resting place for all living beings, lying as it was in the beginning of creation, and he personally lifted it. Purport? The word rasayam is sometimes interpreted to mean rasatala, the lowest planetary system. That is not applicable in this connection. According to Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur, the earth is seven times superior to the other planetary systems, namely Tala, Atala, Talatala, Vitala, Rasatala, Palata, Patala. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah. Oh, 6. I'm missing one. Oh. Huh?
Earth is seven.
Well, it's seven below the earth. Yeah. The et cetera is the other one. Therefore, the earth cannot be situated in the Rasatala planetary system. Hmm. It is described in the Vishnu Dharma. Patala Muleshvara Bhoga Samhatao Vinyasya Pada Pritvim Cha Vibhrata Yashopamana Na Babushva Sochuto Mamastu Mangala Vivridhaye Harihi. Therefore, the Lord found the earth at the bottom of the Garbhadaksha ocean, where the planets rest during the devastation at the end of Brahma's day. So this is one question. What happens during at the end of Brahma's life? Everybody goes back into the body of Karanakshaya Vishnu. But it's saying that the planets rest during the devastation at the end of Brahma's day in the Garbhadak ocean. It's interesting. Transcendental geography. Yeah. So any questions or comments? It's okay. Yes, sir.
Part of the, I think it was in the translation of the purport, it said that at the limits of the Garbhadak ocean, even though it was limitless.
Limit of the ocean, even though it was limitless. Yeah.
My mind is boggled right there.
Yeah. One time Prabhupada said, you haven't got the intelligence to understand this. I'm trying to describe the structure of the universe like that. Yeah. Again, what we're missing is the same thing, like somebody, you know, two police officers are talking, and one says, Bob, the other guy says, well, Jim, they're talking like that. And some lady comes up and says, oh, officer, you know, how do I get to here and there, and what this and that? And the same person says, well, officer, what do you think? So now in this different situation, they're talking, you know, to police officers, right? You know? After she goes away, then maybe they start talking again with their friends like that. You know? And then one of the police officers' wife shows up and walking down the street, and he's talking to her. The other guy kind of like this, doesn't get involved in the conversation like that, you know? Not in that humor. Right. And she says, well, okay, I'll see you tonight. So dinner will be a little bit later tonight then, right, honey? He says, yes. You know, so Officer Bob and Honey, you know, are they different people? So, how's it go? Mahavishnu, Shiva, Shirodakshai Vishnu, and Garbhadakshai Vishnu, are they different people? It's the same thing. You know, the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu and Shirodakshaya Vishnu don't exist in the spiritual world. Yeah. they merge back into the personality of Mahavishnu, Karanaksha Vishnu. And he's eternal. He exists always in the spiritual world. Is the material energy eternal?
Yes.
Yeah? So it exists in the spiritual world? There's pizzas and pepperoni pizzas in the spiritual world?
The pepperoni pizzas there are the original. The ones here are perverted reflections.
Oh. Yeah, so when the material energy is not manifest, it's called pradhan. I understand. Just like it gets a very, very famous question in philosophy, what happens to my fist when I open my hand? Is it still there? The fist?
Unmanifest.
So the answer with philosophers, some people else, was is yes, it's there in a non-manifested form. So there's no pepperoni pizza in the spiritual world. There's no, Hiranyakasipu is not throwing Lord Nrsimhadeva is not tossing intestines all over Vaikuntha like that, But it's there in a non-manifested form. Again, Tamal Krishnamara said he asked Sridhar Maharaj, Prabhu's godmother, about that, about Bomalila, how it appears in the spiritual world. And Sridhar Maharaj said it is passive. And he gave the example like some officer, British officer, he may kill a dangerous tiger in India, and afterwards he puts his foot on the head and his Indian gun bearers are there, those who survived. And there's a picture. And he goes back to England, he shows all the ladies in the palace, like that. And they're all going, "Oh, so he's so big, you're so brave." So this is where Shingadev is showing pictures of all these pastimes to the Lakshmis in Vaikuntha, and they're all thinking, "Oh, so." So it's there, but in a non-manifested form, in a passive form. So in that way, the pradhan, when it becomes prakriti, and then Mahavishnu expands, as Shirodaksha Vishnu, right? And it is in the material nature. That pradhan, here's the pradhan. Pradhan, okay. Now, Shirodaksha Vishnu, or a roll, or a Krishna. What's for lunch? Don't tell anybody. So Kapila says, I keep myself internally as the Paramatma and externally as time. So very nice. What is time? Big question. Very nice explanation. Time is the external manifestation of the Paramatma, or in Christian tradition, the Holy Spirit. Like that. So therefore, what is time? For example, I was on a train one time, and I've been a devotee for like about 7 years in San Francisco on the BART train. And two girls were sitting behind me talking, and one of them said, "How do you kill time? And why paint my nails? Like that." And I was shocked, like two witches talking about how do you eat babies? Why start with the toes and go up like that? It was like, I thought, well, why was I so shocked by this, And I was like, well, because in 7 years as a devotee, I never heard a devotee say one time, "Got any time to kill?" And devotees, they don't have time to kill, right? And so they don't want to kill time, right? Time is the external manifestation of the Paramatma. So if you have time to kill, it means you're a pretty demoniac dude, right? Radharani says, "I will worship the moments when I am with Krishna with the offerings of flower garlands and incense and sandalwood paste," like that. So as far as she's concerned, the devotee time is something, unlimitedly respectable to arrange all this possibility for devotional service. Right? Time makes it possible for us to do Mangalarti. Time makes it possible for us to, cook the breakfast offering. Time makes it possible for us to go to work. Thank you. Time to go to work. Right? Yeah. So that's, it's myself too. I have some comprehension, I think, of these things, which is confirmed when I read it. I read again, it's yes. But this is the first time I'm actually reading this, that at the end of the Brahma's day, the planetary systems, planets rest in the bottom of the Garbhadaka or in the Garbhadaka ocean, like that. So that exists. Where does the garbhodaka come from? Mahavishnu. Oh, sure. Yeah. So he then he enters into the egg, whatever that is, and then he lies down. Maybe perspires first. Yeah, he perspires first. And so this is unusual water. This is, you know, garbhodaksha Vishnu's perspiration. Ladies, this is an English lesson here. Probably you don't know this. Ladies glow, men perspire, and horses sweat. So you would never see a, you know, this lady was sweating. You know. Or you never see a lady who's perspiring. You see she's glowing. It's very old. This is when gentlemen used to tip their hats to women and stuff like that. In the good old days before Ronald Reagan came and changed everything. Yeah. So anyway, this is the Garbhodaksha ocean is the perspiration of Mahavishnu and his sweat. This is very wonderful. It's very unusual. Well, very unusual water. You know? But it also appears to be related to the Bhumandal ocean, like that. Yeah. There's some kind of relationship it appears between the two, right? Like one is a reflection of the other, one is a limb of the other, right? One is an echo of the other. You understand? Yeah. So Lord Varaha is going into the ocean, and that ocean is also Varuna. Varuna's abode, right? Under the control of Varuna. Yeah. And I don't know if it was, I don't know. I was thinking it was female. You know, the ocean was female. Maybe a predominating deity of the ocean specifically is, you know, Fumi, female, like Bhumi. The general deity is Varuna. Later on, when we go to the second canto, you know, in Spadapadma course, there's going to be a more detailed explanation of this. Really, the whole second canto, after the first three chapters, where Sukadeva Goswami is preaching to Maharaj Pariksit, he asks him, what is the duty of a man at the time of death, and during his life, and especially at the time of death, what is his duty? So then, Sukadeva Goswami then answers in three chapters, you know, pantheism, mysticism, you know, monotheism, Sat, Chit, Ananda, Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. And that's it. Everything is there. Yeah. But then he asks him, he says, oh, wonderful, I'm becoming so enlightened, but please, you know, more. Tell me more about the Lord's activities and pastimes. Specifically, how does he create this world? How does he maintain this world? And in the end, how does he absorb this world back into himself? Huh? So he wants to know about these things like that. Because if we have some appreciation for the intricacies of Krishna's presence in these things, planetary systems, you know, different incarnations, expansions, energies, then we're Krishna conscious. You know? Basically, if you really realize, what does it mean to realize Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Shirodakshaya Vishnu, and Mahavishnu? Do you have some comprehension what those realizations are? In the Bible it says, fear of God is the beginning of knowledge, right? That's one realization of God. It's like, wow, please don't kill me. Right? So somebody comes to the temple and they come inside the temple shaking before I enter the Madhava. Get out of here as quick as I can. Right? So what does it mean, Garbhodaksha Vishnu, Shirodaksha Vishnu, and Mahavishnu? Comprehension, realization. Is there Vasilila realization with Mahavishnu? Can you have Vasilila? No, that's not there.
That's a universal form.
Huh?
That's a universal form.
What? No. The Virat Rupa, Prabhupada says, is the objective material incarnation of Krishna. The universal form that Arjuna saw in Bhagavad Gita, right? That was the Paramatma feature. Yeah. And he was giving a pantheistic explanation in chapter 10. Vibhuti Matsattva. Among the taste of water, among fishes I am the Barracuda. Among hills I am Mount McKinley. Among the men I am Arnold Schwarzenegger. No? 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 So you're pantheistic. You appreciate God and these things. It's a fact. You know, it's there, yeah. Get a taste for God. He's here, everywhere. Different sparks like that. But he finished. That's Brahman. You know, this Garbhadaksha Vishnu. This existence, reality. There is a reality. You know? There is no reality. It's all, you know, it's all void, shunyavad. You know, someone just has smelled this earth. Taste this water. What do you mean it's all zero? There's something real. Oh, okay. Brahman. Reality. Sat. Existence. Then Chit is Paramatma. That form, the transcendental reality has a form, has structure like that. Yeah? And so that's in the end of chapter 10 in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, but what's the use of all these different details here? With one angsa, ekakshena, ekakshena, stito jagat. I maintain this whole universe.
The last one,
Atva Bhumi. Yeah. So then in chapter 11, Arjuna says, hey, well, I want to see that. Last chapter, you mentioned this ekakshena, stito jagat. Let me see that. He says, you can't see with the present eye, divididamite chakshus, I give you divine eye. So we can see that everything, the floor, the column, the microphone stand, the little mesh on the microphone, the light, and the, you know, the colon after Vishnu Dharma, the top dot. He's maintaining everything. Everything. But that's in the darshan of the Paramatma. Who are you? Time I am. Destroyer of the worlds. Yeah. And then he shows in the Bhagavan forms. The four arms. Those are also two, you know, great even. Yeah. So when purport to the Bhagavad Gita Prabhu quotes, he says, anybody from some places, anybody who realizes these three Vishnus, Team Vishnu, is liberated. Yeah. So Prabhu says, I'm bring it down, but the first two are materially contaminated. Comprehension of Garbhadaksha Vishnu as the maintainer of the universe, the soul of the universe. It's here. And then the comprehension of Paramatma as being everywhere, giving it form and detail and structure. That's also materially contaminated. But finally, we come to Mahavishnu, that he's the source of everything. He's what the Prabhupada said, summum bonum. Yeah. He's the source of all material, of everything else like that. Yeah. So with him, you can have Ananda.
Mahavishnu?
Yeah. What is the rasa?
Oh, Narayana. Mahavishnu is the... I've heard that Mahavishnu is the material... He's in the material world.
No.
But Vishnu is in touch with the material world in Mahavishnu.
Because he's always in contact with Prakriti. Yeah, Pradhan is his energy.
And his, and the spiritual form of that is Narayana.
Okay. But they're also complicated because then there's a Viraj River, there's all these things like that. But generally speaking, no, he's out there. He's outside, the other side of the Viraj River, if you understand details. Not Narayana, the rest of all living beings are in him. But he's there eternally being worshipped by Nanda, Sunanda, and different energies. So you can be in Shantaras with him. And he's just great. You know. Hallelujah.
Narayana is Mahavishnu.
Well, it's two terms for the same thing. It means, you know, when Brahma's talking about him, he uses the word Narayana in different ways, like three or four different definitions of what it could mean. You know, Ayana means rest, and Nara means living being, so you could be there for the rest of all living beings, like that. You know, when there's no cosmic manifestation, it all goes into the body of all living beings, go in the body of Narayana as Mahavishnu. You know. So Paramatma is also Narayana, because all of these beings are resting upon him. And in terms of you, actually, Hridayananda Maharaj one time was saying, Prabhupada usually wasn't a lawyer, like where every term has to be like it's precise, you know, like that. It's more like we have some reasonable precision, but then we talk about it again, and after four or five, six times, and it's clear. It's just, there's no doubt. It's just the way it is, you know. But it's just like. And in one time, you're trying to, you know, in a law contract, every word has a specific meaning in law. For example, the word contract, you know, for example, to be a bookkeeper or an accountant is two different things under law. Legally, I could be a bookkeeper, but a bookkeeper for ISKCON of Houston, but I couldn't be the accountant in terms of California law. Because you know, an accountant has to have a formal degree, whereas a bookkeeper can just have some ability. So in law, you're writing a contract. In law, every term is like a lawyer. Every term is very precise, you know, like that. It's like a sutra. So, but we, you know, we talk about things in a good sense, and then later on it goes through several times, and it becomes clear. It's even better. Isn't it? You can't just make one mistake with one word, and the whole thing is destroyed. Right? So anyway, it's discussed many times. So today it's talking about Lord Bohr, you know, dropping. He's coming down, too. And before, where was this? This was taking place at Maharajana and Tapaloka. We're discussing before. The sages were offering respect to his form, which was spread from Rama and the other top three planetary systems, but Maharajana and Tapa, I guess, like that. Sometimes, yeah. Which means it was intellectual form. But then it assumed a gross covering. He's coming down, which means he's taking on a gross covering. You know? The next poem by, what's his name? I have a name now. Tiger, Tiger in the Night. Okay. Yeah. It's called When Fall. He seemed to have a lot of comprehension. When falling souls take to burning light. It's like that. Coming down. As you're coming down, you start taking on these more and more gross coverings. Like that. So Lord Bohr was coming down like that, like a giant kangaroo coming down. You know, when somebody jumps in the water, some big guy jumps off the diving board, this, you know, like that, hits the water. You know, so Lord Bohr is, again, it's the whole thing, I think it's kind of like a sporting, funny pastime. Your Lord Bohr is now, you know, coming down like that to hit the water, like, you know, his pink swimming trunks on, like that, you know. And the water is, you know, begging him. And he goes all the way to the bottom, right? He's so heavy, he goes all the way to the bottom of the Patala Loka. I said, that's the other problem thing. It's not these, that's different. Because those seven planetary systems, as far as I understand, are above, you know, Garbhodak Ocean. They're resting below the Earth. And somewhere between the Earth and them is Bilba Swarga, subterranean heavenly planets. It's some other kind of place, like Las Vegas or something. It's like in between the Earth, you know, like that. Anyway. More, keep on reading. In the fifth canto, there's more detail in the second canto. So, a bunch of discussed a little bit. Our first canto?
Yeah,
okay. So today also, we're trying to do this Padapadma program, I'm going to do it. It's nice. First two cantos. So now we're trying to do it much more formally this year with San Marcos University, a nice group here. You know, Hari and Hari and others like that. We're going through the... basically, there was an orientation seminar, which you saw the PowerPoint show on Sunday, and then the second PowerPoint show. What are all 12 cantos? Okay. How do the first two cantos fit in? The details of those. It was also very well organized. And then, one chapter a week. You know, 30 chapters, the first two cantos. You could also do it one and finish it off in 1 month. If you have more time, I'd be reading one chapter a day. No, if you have like a retreat or something like that, no? Do one chapter a day, read it, discuss it, like that, and go through it. And or a fortnight, two chapters a week. Yeah, so I guess in one day, one chapter every hour and don't sleep. You know? So anyway, Gopal Bhatta Goswami had the assignment from Lord Chaitanya to constantly recite Srimad Bhagavatam. That was his service. Yeah. So he could do it in six different tunes. I don't know how long it would take him. Six different melodies, I guess. You know, Swadam Strayodhitamahim Nigamanam. Swadam Strayodhitamahim Nigamanam. You know, he had six different, you know, ragas like that. There was somebody playing the veena and chanting. Of course, they're all Sanskrit experts. And the Goswamis were always in ecstasy. All of these different things like that. Because each time you go through it, there's more comprehension. It reveals itself, right? And becomes, you know, fills your heart with that. Yeah? The Bhagavatam Ki. But the first two cantos are the lotus feet of Krishna. So over again and again and again. Svayamana Krishna Padaravindayor. What does that mean? Amrish Maharaj is describing his activities. fully engaged in devotional service, and it says this, Vaya Mana Krishna Padara Vindayora. No, that's Maharaj Kulakshetra. Or somebody. Svai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayora. Vaikuntha Vamsi. Maharaj Ambarish. First, he fixed his mind at the lotus feet of Krishna. So Prabhupada one place says that means to repeatedly study the first two cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. Eternally, scrutinizing. It's like looking at Krishna's lotus feet. You know. How many bones in the foot? Well, many. I don't know if Krishna has bones in his feet or not, but he appears to. Like that. You know. Yeah. When you're putting mantras on your hand, like the Vishnu, what's it called? The something. When Narayana Kavacha, you put different syllables on different digits like that. You install them like that. Om Narayanaya, you know, and then your fingers are a little like, you know, like a virtual reality, you know, using these shields and, you know, fighting with Narayana Kavacha, you know, Aya, 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 yeah, but that's, you know, conscious of your body then, as a Brahmana. You know, very subtle. Trevisa said one time with Prabhupada in Iran. Yeah. And somebody, he was talking to Prabhupada about preaching and Krishna consciousness. And somebody had made some very nice sandesh and was sitting there. So Prabhupada took one and pushed one to him. You know, and the Treya took it, was ate it like that. It was very nice, you know. Then after some time, Prabhupada pushed a second one to him. You're talking about an hour, another 20 minutes, another one like that. Then Treya Rishi had finished off three of them. And he noticed that Prabhupada was still working on the first one. He would break out this little piece and like that. Yeah? Yeah. So it's Brahmana. Everything very subtle, fine. Your body, all these mantras, and things like that. What is the universe? How it all is actually working, experiencing these things. Yeah? That kind of consciousness. And, you know, such a powerful person. Right? Yeah. So, these first two cantos, Lotus Feet of Krishna. And we also have, our Anjana Sutta Academy, our webpage is, you know, going and working there, jairam.us. Yeah, there. Still have one glitch, one problem which we're working on. But it's there, trying to post these files like that. So we're supporting Nectar of Instruction study, 3 minutes with a genius, probably Nectar of Devotion, and Vidagdha Madhava and Lalita Madhava, and probably the first two cantos, and Srimad Bhagavatam annual review. One canto a month. 12 months in the Vaishnava year, 12 cantos. And tomorrow we're starting the third month. Yeah, Damodar is the last month. Yeah. Then Kachayani Vrata, the first month. We're just finishing the second month now. And they follow the Tilak marks. First month is Keshava. Second month is? Narayana. The third month is? Madhava. Yeah. Yeah, the same way. And they're divided into four groups of 3 months each, predominated over by Vasudev, Shankarshan, Rajun, and Aniruddha. See? There's so much, it's unlimited, you can't know everything. This is time. Yeah, so there's different, I guess, three sets. Keshava, Narayana, Madhava. Keshava, Narayana, Madhava. That's predominated over by Vasudev. Which, you know, go on. So we're starting the third month tomorrow. And this is the third canto. You know, it's very nice. Here Maitreya meets, Uddhava meets Maitreya. Vidura meets Uddhava, then he goes to see Maitreya, then Maitreya begins to describe all these, the creation of the world, same question, you know, physical sciences and God, you know, and then that brings up this whole story of Varaha, and then finally, the story of Swayambhu Manu, his children, first children, the child is Devahuti, and her son, Kapila. And that's it, you know, third canto. Yeah, it's a lot. So, but also, back to the first two cantos, okay? And specifically, back at chapter 14, right? Pandavas disappearance of Lord Krishna. So the first two cantos, next Sunday we'll talk about it more on our slideshow. The first canto is, first three chapters, we find Sutra to the Sages. That's where we enter into Srimad Bhagavatam culture, is this meeting in Nainasharanya, I guess about 5,000 years ago. And their fire sacrifices, their Agnihotra, their human sacrifices, their animal sacrifices are not working. You know? In the Western tradition, you find the same thing. Abraham was going to sacrifice his son as a human sacrifice to God, and God stopped it. And that was the end of human sacrifices. But before it was working, and there's some description that a divine fire will come out of the sky and accept the offering. So even in this Western tradition, you find the same thing. Yeah, there used to be human sacrifices, animal sacrifices, and they were celestial. But then it just became an excuse for, you know, barbecue at some point. So Buddha stopped it in India, and I guess God stopped it, the angels stopped it here in the West, with Abraham and Isaiah's his son. He was all ready to do it. God said, okay, I don't want any more human sacrifices. At this point, Kali Yuga started. And people aren't going to live you 1,000 years anymore. So then, what is the essence of religion? How can we be protected in the age of Kali? Chapters 1, 2, 3. And then Vyasadeva, the incarnation is Srimad Bhagavatam. It was compiled by Vyasadeva. Why did he do this? And he already written all Vedas. Why did his son study it? Why did his son study it? Okay. Narada and Vyas, that's where he got the impetus to do it. Because Narada said, you're not satisfied because you haven't written Srimad Bhagavatam. You're only indirectly glorifying Krishna, right? Again, animal rights, vegetarianism, hatha yoga, you know, devotees give all these things to attract people. But in the end, they never get around to actually preaching. It's here. It's not satisfied running your vegetarian restaurant, teaching hatha yoga classes, right? You want to preach directly to people. So he says, you have to do that. Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, so he left. He said, okay, now you compose it. So then he started meditating on the whole background. You know, things come from a source. You've got to understand the source. Like that. You know? If somebody, you know, if your five-year-old child says, I'm going to kill you, okay. You know, but if Arnold Schwarzenegger says, I'm going to kill you, or George Bush says, I'm going to kill you, it's different. Consider the source. You know, yeah, more difficult to escape, you know, these things. So the source is that, what's the background? Let me start chapters 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. The whole background for Srimad Bhagavatam. And then Vyasadeva is then giving us then the Bhagavatam that Sukadeva Goswami spoke to Maharaj Parikshit, that his student spoke to his student. And that's the principle of Bhagavatam that Vyasadeva was giving us. So why did he do that? I don't know. He's proud of his son. My son's a greater man than I am. Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
The benefit of all humankind.
Huh?
The benefit of humankind.
Yeah. Yeah. So then after that, this background is divided into very natural sequences too. Chapters, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 10, something like that, are the pastimes right after the Kurukshetra battle, right? Ashvatthama, son of Drona punished, which is also prayers by Queen Kunti. Krishna's preparing to leave. They convince him to stay a little longer. And then a disappearance of Bhishma Dev, that's chapter 9. What is chapter 7? No, 1. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
7 is Drona punished.
And then 8 is Kunti's prayers.
9 is Bhishma
Dev. And then 10 is birth of Maharaj Parikshit.
No.
Departure for Dwarka. And 11 is arrival in Dwarka. And 12 is the birth of Maharaj Parikshit.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And then, okay, that had to happen pretty quick after the Battle of Kurukshetra because, you know, the baby would have been born. So that's all within 8 months. You know, more than that. Yeah, maybe about that. All within about 8 months after Kurukshetra, that section. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
13 is the last week.
Okay. Then, after many, many years, Vidura comes back and preaches to Dhritarashtra, it's time to quit, get out. Okay. Then Krishna goes. Then the Pandavas go. So those three chapters are disappearance of Krishna and his associates. And then finally, Maharaj Parikrit, the circumstances, he meets Kali. And Maharaj was an encounter, encountering Kali, the reward and punishment of Kali, cursed by a Brahmin boy, meeting Sukadeva Swami. Yeah. So very nice to study, like again, like take it 1 week at a time, it falls in like 1 month modules. You know, think about that. After he left, this happened, that happened, this happened, that happened. And those are all Vaikuntha pastimes. There are notes here now in chapter 14, Retirement of Krishna. And what notes we have, ours are just one little drop in the ocean. You need more notes. And to develop this, maybe we can try and like be a resource for this, these first two cantos, you know, Anjana Sudha Academy and NIOSH, North American Institute for Oriental Classical Studies. But the point I'm making is everything about Krishna's mission of incarnation is finished. When was his mission of incarnation finished? What was his mission of incarnation? Why did he come? Many reasons.
The demons.
Pritranaya sarunam vinashchaya taduskritam. So where did he vinashchaya the taduskritams? Yeah, Kurukshetra was the real thing. With his great servant, probably the greatest of all Krishna's servants in accomplishing his mission, Duryodhana. Right? Duryodhana got all those guys at one place at one time. He was the whirlpool. Oh, yeah. I think said thank you, Duryodhana. Yeah. But it wasn't Anukulyena. You know, so therefore it wasn't pure devotional service. Yeah. It was Anushilanam, empowered activity, but it wasn't Anukulyena. You know, it was Pratikulyena. You know, opposed to Krishna. Yeah. Yeah. So, and then after that, what happens? Vaikuntha, everything describes Yudhisthira ruling the world is very nice, wonderful. It's just like Vaikuntha for some time. It happens. Yeah. At the end of Dwarpara Yuga, there was a little time when things were so beautiful. Maybe Camelot comes from this story. Maybe King Arthur was Yudhisthira or something, or some subordinate king of Yudhisthira, like that. And everything was so wonderful. It was, you know, playing tennis on the roof. That was the biggest combat that was going on. It was, you know, tennis games on the roof with the queens, like that. You know? Yeah. And then what else? But progress. So it's time for Kali Yuga. Is Kali Yuga Krishna's mercy?
Yes.
Why is that?
Because it's more easy to become do it.
Yeah, that's kind of maybe a secondary effect. Yeah, because yoga won't work, sacrifice won't work, varnashram dharma won't work. You don't have any choice. It's either become a pure devotee or go to hell. It's like before you had choices, like things in between, but now it's just, you know, it's just like, well, you put it that way, I'll become a pure devotee. I don't like hell. I like swarga. It's not an option this time. Yeah. But because Krishna wants the living entities to be able to express their desires, he's giving them the opportunity. So Kali Yuga is the opportunity when you can
express your desire.
Yeah, you can do anything you want to do. Welcome to the Kali Yuga, Mr. Hereball. You can even eat people. You can become a cannibal. Wow. What fun!
Oh,
yeah. Well, maybe somebody, the Bakshashas, but now the human beings. Yeah. So, what percentage of the Divya Yuga is the Kali Yuga? Divya Yuga is the four ages together. So, Kali Yuga,
10%.
Yeah. So, Krishna's 90% is quite nice. You know, it's either nice, very nice, or just extremely nice. It's okay, nice, or extremely nice. And most of it's extremely nice. The 40% is Satya Yuga. Yeah? 30% is nice. Yeah? 20% is okay. Dwarpara Yuga. And only 10% is nasty. The Prabhupada says you cannot imagine how nasty it's going to get. The story. Yeah? It gets more and more horrid, right? A ripe old man will be 35 years old, maximum age. People will be 3 feet tall, you know, angry, envious, right? You see some species now like that. You know, very, for example, in Manipur, the tribal people, they're just like animals in many ways like that. They drink and fight, you know, and are friendly, you know, just very, you know, very emotional and kill each other or else become big treaties and, you know, very simple. You know, slap their kids, beat their wives, and poison their husbands. Yeah. So that's what it'll be like, the whole earth. So some places will still be spiritual, there'll still be some Brahmins. So Krishna's now, he's going to leave so the Kali Yuga can come, because he can't come in his presence. You know. So the chapter includes several things, right? Any questions or comments about the chapter? Anybody else's comments? I just kind of pointed out two verses. If you can't do anything else, you want to participate in this Padapama thing, just read all the translations. It's very exciting. You just sit down and read all the translations. If you do it out loud, it takes about 20 minutes, I think. Most of the chapters. You do it to yourself, you can go even faster. Yeah, okay, once a week, read a chapter out loud. You just feel, wow. And then Prabhupada's purports, he expands these ideas. So any of the Padapaminis? Or anybody else have any kind of questions? Or we discussed one point before, right? What is foul means of livelihood? It starts off with Yudhisthira, you know, looking at things, and all these strange things are happening, all these unfortunate things. So he starts to speculate. At first he sees them, just sees all these things, you know. Nasty animals like asses. You know, cows are passing on his left side, which is inauspicious, and nasty animals like asses are circumambulating him. You know, can you imagine what it'd be like if you go out there and some dog is circumambulating you. It must mean something, right? Yeah, so these asses are, you know, and the deities in the temples are crying, and the fires don't burn well. And he especially talks about social relationships. There's quarrel and confusion, even amongst family members. Even there's strain and quarrel amongst husband and wife. This was unheard of before. Right? A lady knew her dharma, how to act properly. The husband knew his dharma, how to act properly. It was just natural, you know, like that. Right? So now, even amongst husband and wife, there's just disagreement like that. So, and then foul means of livelihood. What is foul means of livelihood? People are adopting foul means of livelihood. Can you explain?
One kind of livelihood that is not correspond with our nature.
Yeah, it means a kshatriya taking up the taking up the activity of a Brahmin to make his money, or a Vaishya or something like that. So whatever your position in the Varnashram system is, adopting somebody else's position. Yeah. So, like actually Bhima was like, the whole battle was going on and Drona was killing people right and left and slaughtering them, and Bhima just got off his chariot and walked right across. You know, Drona didn't attack him because he's not attacking him. He walked right up and just put his arms in his chariot and he said, you know, Guruji, if Brahmanas like you would stick to your business, this war business would not be such a wholesale slaughter. And he walked away. Drona was just like, Drona was shocked because he couldn't act like a kshatriya. He was a Brahmana, right? He didn't have the pragmatic view of life and this kind of like thing. He was idealist. If you're going to kill them all. Yeah, he was too idealistic, right? Kshatriya is more pragmatic. Okay, enough for today. You killed enough guys today. Let's call them off. So he was adopting foul means of livelihood. But he said he should, very critical whether he should have, you know, taken that job or not. You know, he'd be teaching the things. Teaching, okay, but to do it is something else. That was too much. They teach everything, Brahmanas, but to actually engage in the activity, that was starting to be too much. Parashara says, in apad dharma, some problem, a Brahmana can even adopt the job of a Vaishya, but he can't touch the plow. If he does that, he loses his, you know, it's apad, so it's foul means of livelihood. Right? So it's described in the Vedas. You know, people are starting to do that. Yeah. Okay? So he saw many things. There's many purports. Yeah.
Yeah. How do you relate this text 8 in this chapter 14 with this Bhagavad Gita, which says, surrender to me?
Yeah, that's the one. I pointed out, I think, 3 texts, right? In my commentary, I just picked out 3 texts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Chapter 14, text number 8. Or in Spanish, capítulo 8, 14. No. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. There it is. Is he, Krishna, going to quit his earthly pastimes as Devarshi Narada indicated? Has that time already arrived? And the purport says, there's many quotes from Bhagavad Gita. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice of descendant of Bharata and a predominant rise of religion, at that time I descend myself to deliver the faithful, to annihilate the impious. I appear age after age. If I should cease to work, 324, everybody would be misdirected. I would therefore be to destroy the peace of all living beings. 321. Whatever action a great man performs, common men will follow. And whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. In Prabhupada's statement. All the above statements by the Lord apply to different plenary portions of the Lord, namely his expansions as Shankarshan, Vasudeva, Pranyubdha, Aniruddha, and Narayana. Yeah. These are all he himself in different classical expansions. And still the Lord as Sri Krishna functions in a different sphere of transcendental exchange with different grades of devotees. Yeah. So this is a question many times. Krishna says, Bhagavad Gita is telling Arjuna, surrender unto that Supreme Person without doubt completely and he will save you. But you're right in front of us saying this. Why should what's going on? Why does Krishna say this? Why is he talking the third person about surrender to God when he's God? Right? Because he's in different humors, he's in different positions like that. When he's talking to Arjuna, he's in Guru Tattva. He's become Madan Mohan, like that. Madan Mohan. Yeah. And so when he's usually telling Arjuna, he's usually to surrender to Garbhadaksha Vishnu and Mahavishnu, like that. It doesn't go much beyond that. Right? So this is my
last verse, he clarifies that he says, surrender to me.
When he goes into the 18th, the second half of the third half of the Bhagavad Gita, and especially the 18th chapter when he's summarizing everything, then he gets much more personal about the surrender process. Before that, it's more like his hands are everywhere. He sees and maintains everything. He's everybody's friend. He knows the past and future. Surrender to that Supreme Lord who's everywhere. Who's primordial, always exists. So he's talking more in that sense. But in the 18th chapter, he starts getting... When he finally comes down to the conclusion, he gets very... It's more... You can feel like this real... Immediacy... what's the word? Urgency. And Krishna's really talking in an urgent sense. It's really like, preaching to him personally now. This Arjuna, just take shelter of me. I'm your friend. Right? And don't worry. I'll take care of you. Like that. And really, that's the point. Because without that that rasa... You can't maintain the position. With a Paramatma or with Garbhadaksha Vishnu, you can't maintain that relationship because there's no Ananda. Brahmati, Paramatmati, Bhagavan, Ekisham. Yeah? So in the end of Bhagavad Gita, there's this real feeling of personal intimacy and the protection. Yeah?
I don't understand why you say that Paramatma is materially contaminated.
Yeah, the exact quote Prabhupada says it several times. Because as devotees, it's hard for us to realize these things. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santasa daiva hudayeshu vilokayanti yam shama sundara vachanta guna srupam govinda mari purusham tamam madami. Premanjana, those people whose eyes have been waxed, stimulated by the salve of love of God, Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena sadaiva hridayeshu. So in their heart they see hridayeshu Arjuna tisthati Brahmayana sarvabhutana yantuhura nimaya. They don't see the Paramatma, they see Shamasundar, those who have prema, right? Like that. Again, if somebody you know, somebody comes and punches you in the nose, or somebody comes and caresses you on the cheek. In both cases, it's the energy of that person, it's her anga, right? But you know, one person is your enemy, and you hate him, and you respond. Another person is your friend, your lover, or your wife, and you respond, right? So the same, the Paramatma is not an energy of Krishna, actually not an expansion, either, technically. He's an incarnation of Krishna, right? Incarnation of Krishna. But somebody who's in love with Krishna, he sees a peacock feather, which is just a dirty bird feather, right? And don't touch that thing. It may have bacteria on it. You know, says, oh, he says, Krishna wears these. You know, so he sees Krishna. Stavra jangama deki na deki tara morti sarvatra hoya nija ista deva sporti. He sees everywhere his deity. So when he sees the Paramatma, you can't see the Paramatma. The Paramatma is perceived by form direction. It's intelligence. Right? And when you see the Paramatma, there's still not a personal relationship with him. When the yogi sees him in his heart with four arms, it's still conceptual. Right? Paramatma realization means to realize intuition, direction, but there's no person there. Devotees, it's hard to understand this because we're always thinking there's a person, it's Krishna. But this is somebody who's come to this level. Yeah, they're basically atheistic to some degree still. Right? It's a very nice, I can't remember the whole poem, it's really nice. It's an 14th century Christian cross. It says, I am your friend, who you will betray. I am that master who you will not obey. It's always things like that. And I am that counselor, but you will not hear me. So seal up your soul with tears and never blame me. And it's very nice. It's a very nice prayer. But it's kind of conclusion. Yes, I'm there giving you advice, but you don't want to hear it. You know, okay, if you're listening, that's the Paramatma. But I want to listen to you, but I don't want to like have a too personal relationship. You can be in the kingdom and not have it be a personal friend of the king. You can be in the palace and have even more intimate responsibilities to the king. And finally, you can be, you know, in the king's, be a friend of the king. Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. You know? Yeah, if you're in the kingdom, you have a general idea there's a king or somebody in charge here. But you don't have to know him. You know, I don't know who the governor of Texas is. Do you know who the governor of Texas is? You might know. I don't know him. But I follow the laws, you know, like that. I enjoy the benefits, right? Yeah. So that's Brahman. The Paramatma is, yes, you realize, yes, he has a form, this and that, but there's no rasa. There's just knowledge. In Vishuddha Sattva, you can see Krishna face to Vishnu, face to face. Garbhadaksha Vishnu did this. The yogis in the third canto describe they can do that. They can see Vishnu face to face, but there's no lakshan, no bhakti. Or else if she's there, she's just somebody just like me.
So when we see from the scripture, when we read that the yogi realizes Paramatma is her, is that Narayan form?
Well, that's sure Daksha Vishnu form. He's in the heart. It's the form of the heart. Expand in everybody's heart.
Yeah. So Paramatma has some form then?
Yeah, Paramatma has form. Yeah. But not a lovable form. a cognizable form.
But is it always four-handed form or is it could be different also?
I think he's four-handed, but that's again like a very high level. You know? For example, it says that Buddhi and Manas, in Kapila Dev's describing them, they have, how's it go? They have no characteristics, you know, like that. Give me ask this question, you know, where is democracy? It's like a poetical question. Where does democracy live? You know, oh, my brother, she's in the hearts of those who take the pack on their back and fight against, you know, it was Eisenhower said, in the end, in the final analysis, the soldier's pack is a lighter burden than the slave's chains. You know, this is where you start. Where is democracy? It's a concept. Like that. Yeah. Yeah. Where is calculus? You come in now. The thoughts. Microsoft Word is a series of thoughts, right? Right. Yeah. So it's a series of thoughts.
The
this, that.
So there is in the, according to the advancement of the sadhakas, the form can change?
Well, yeah, because in premanjana, then you see, then you can have a rasa. But of course, you're istadevata, you know, maybe the Mahavishnu. Yeah. And then you go beyond Garbhadaksha Vishnu, you see Mahavishnu, he has this extra feature then. I guess he smiles. So, and so Kapila says, when you come to this point, the yogi comes to this point of seeing him, he says his beautiful eyebrows and his eyes are like a pair of dancing fish around two lotus petals. Like that. And it's beautiful, like, you know, personal description. And he says, like, you're so attractive, and then, but yeah, but still you don't feel anything, dude. You're such a hard-hearted rascal. That's your level. But if you want to, you want to. Okay, he says, keep on meditating, keep on concentrating, jhana. You know, chit, dhyana yoga, focus, keep. And at some point, because of that bhakti, to do the dhyana, something will happen. And the first feeling of bhava, then it will begin to just expand, you know, to full bhava, and then prema. Okay? Yeah. So our comprehension of the Paramatma is that it's Krishna. That's not the comprehension of these people who don't go beyond that. They just see this, like, one guy, he came into the temple in Berkeley, in Wabi, and still story many times, Sunday morning, very sunny day, big, tall, black guy. And he said, I am the one of the grandsons of the king of Haiti. He looked like he could have been like that, you know. And he said, and I died about 3 years ago. That seemed kind of doubtful, right? You know. But in Berkeley, if you know Berkeley, you don't challenge people on these things. So then he explained, he died. They came, the doctor did all the tests, and there's no pulse, there's no breathing, you know, okay. You know, he's dead, it's a death certificate. They sent him off to the hospital, and they put him in the morgue, maybe 10 dead bodies there in the drawers, and some nurse was sitting there on morgue duty reading her, you know, ladies' magazine, and, you know, check him in, check him out, you know. And she heard this noise, you know. Like that. And she's reading her magazine. You know. So she puts it down and goes over. She's listening to each drawer like that. She comes to his drawer and it's like, you know. So he says she pulled the drawer open and then he sat up and she screamed and her hair turned white. And he screamed, you know, because she's screaming at him. And then she's a nurse, so her intelligence figured out, you know, basically sometimes the heart goes into this very slow pace, right? I don't know how slow it can go. But maybe one beat every, 40 seconds or something? Like that. And so a doctor may take the pulse, right? There's no pulse, you know, 20, 30 seconds, you know, whenever you get it like that. There's no respiration. The guy's dead, you know? But it's not. It's very slow like that. And so then, you know, he was starting to accelerate again. So she just screamed for the crash cart or whatever it is, and they came down, I guess, and what do you do? Adrenaline of the heart? Like that. And they got him stabilized like that. So he said when he was in that condition, he came out kind of like an out-of-body experience, and he came in contact with his higher self or whatever it was. And from that point, he always knew it was there. And he said, it doesn't matter how dangerous a position I'm in, I always know I can go and come in contact with a higher self that will help me. And sometimes in bars, I get in really dangerous situations. You know? So he was a Paramatma realized person. He didn't know what it was. My higher self, do I become this? Or is it like, you know, some universal box of truth that exists, some, you know, Akashic record? Yeah? See what I mean? And he realized, yes, there's a source of wisdom, a protector, who exists always there. And if you keep straight with him, if you don't deviate too much, he'll always help you. Like that. But yeah, if you get, you know, if you become unclean too much, then he'll give up on you. So he realized that. He had fear of God. He kept himself clean in certain ways like that. His activities and stuff. So, anything else about chapter 14? This is one point I was making. And here it talks about different expansions, incarnations, and in Bhagavad Gita, that's why these things are happening. So any other points about chapter 14? He goes on talking, and then he's Arjuna, he's making all these wild speculations, but he knows, he's afraid, he knows he has to ask this question, is Krishna gone? And looking at Arjuna's situation and everything else, he already knows, he doesn't want to face it. So finally he asks that question, is it because of this? Is it because of that? How are the Vrishnis? How are the Pandavas? Balaram is Adi Guru, Balaram, Bhagavan, Balaram. Yeah. Has he gone? Has he left his pastimes?
Yeah. Narayana previously
indicated that. That you should stay here. Krishna's going to leave his pastimes and you should stay and wait for some time. And then, you know. But it was just too terrifying, too horrible, rasa. So finally when it was done, then he made this decision, okay, we're going to leave. There's no reason to stay here. We're here as long as there's service, devotional service. I tell my disciples this. You don't have to stay here. If you haven't gotten any service, if you're purified, just chant Hare Krishna and give up your body. You can give up your body by you can stop eating and be gone in 30 days. You can stop drinking water and be gone in 3 days. You can stop breathing and be gone in 3 minutes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Be ready. Because Krishna was leaving, and Krishna wanted them to go with him. And yeah, they're part of his pastimes. Uddhava also wanted to go. What did Krishna say?
No, you have to stay.
You have to stay. I can't do it. I'll die. I can't do it. Please, there's nobody but me who can take care of the devotees after I'm gone. Okay, but please, you've got to give me, full instructions. Uddhava Gita, Canto 11. Yeah. 30 chapters. Uddhava Gita. Mm-hmm. He's still there from Bhadrik Ashram. If you want to go get some advice about your preaching program or your service. Yeah. Uddhava. Hanuman too. So, it's all these chapters, again, it's very nice. It's four pages a day. And again, there's one time we were having a kirtan with Ishwar Patel. He was really nice kirtans. And the devotees were so chanting after the Pansati feast, and he finally stopped, and the devotees were going, And he looks up kind of like shocked. Like he said, Krishna's name is unlimited. Like that, didn't you know? It's like, unlimited. You're never satisfied. You're never like, I got enough. Krishna's name is unlimited. So it's unlimited. Going over these things again and again and again. And these three verses, I kind of was pointing out those things. So finally, the Arjuna will answer. In the next chapter, he gives a response like that. These things are so full of rasa. Shumbhagatam ki, Sapapad ki, back home, back to God. It's the voice in the sky. It's the voice of God Kamsa.
Kamsa, you are such a fool, Kamsa.
No more voices.
Yeah. What is your confidential question?
Huh?